Well, good morning. Welcome to Five Corners Church. If you're visiting with us, it's great to have you. Like, this is the church family getting together, and it's fun to have other people come in and join our church family. And maybe one day you'll make this home. Maybe this is just your summer vacation hotspot. Thanks for worshiping with us. For all you church folk, I want to remind you of what we're here to do. This is, Sunday morning is a place where we practice what God has called us to do. And specifically, he sent us on mission, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Together we lead people to grow in God's family. And that's what we get to practice here on a Sunday morning. We get to grow together. We get to lead other people into this relationship. So we talk about things like inviting friends to church, or inviting them over to your house for a barbecue, sharing God with them, joining in our extracurricular activities like our summer calendar, those kinds of things, like family camp. There is no better opportunity for us to grow as a family than to get together for family camp. So I want to remind you of all of these things and the mission God has called us to, that empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we will lead people to grow in God's family. Well, welcome to our church. If you didn't get one of our summer calendars, you might be thinking, well, why is David talking so much about this? I think it's because on Sunday morning, you get, you know, 5, maybe 10 minutes before church that you chit-chat with some friends. Then after church, you get 5, maybe 10 minutes, you chit-chat with friends. And that's all great, but God has called us to be more than just acquaintances, more than just people we know. He's called us into deep relationships. And for our summer series, we're going to be talking a lot about relationships. We're talking about what it takes to be a friend, what the expectations are, not just an acquaintance, but a deep friendship. How do we find these kinds of people? And one of the things we've designed around that is our summer activities. So on the way out, if you'd look on the poster boards, underneath there are calendars. They're drawn up real pretty. You hang them on your fridge. And it's a list of all the activities. But the plan with these activities is so you have time to make friends at church. So it's not just, oh, hi, I saw you on Sunday, but it's, no, now we get to do things together. And they're planned for all ages. Like, if you're not young and fit, you can still come to all of these things. They're designed to fit everybody. And if you're one of those spry teenagers who can climb and do and run and not run out of energy, recuperate in 10 seconds, we've got stuff there for you, and it all mashes together. Because one of the things God has designed in the church is this diversity of young and old and creating families and relationships. And that's what summer is all about here. That's what our church is called to do. So grab one of those. So with that being said, one of the ways we practice this family friendship thing is we break into small groups right in the middle of church, and we talk about something. We give you a topic, and we just get to know each other. So introduce yourself to someone, have a conversation. In a minute, we're going to break into these groups of 6 to 8 people. And as we do, here is the topic I want you to talk about today. What is the most expensive thing you ever bought? Probably a house, but you can go a little bit deeper than that. Aside from the house, what is the most expensive thing that you've ever bought? So go for it right now. Break into groups of 6 to 8 people. Say hello to the new people. Include them in and talk about this. This morning, I want to talk to you about unrestrained generosity. Often in church, we hear about money. The church wants all your money. God wants all your money. We got this attitude. We talk about tithing, as much as that's tongue-in-cheek. Our church has learned the principle of first fruits, that if we are going to worship God, it's going to be with everything, including our finances. But today I want to go a little bit broader than that, than the specific of money. I want to talk about being generous. The secret to being financially savvy is all around us. You can just go to the local bookstore and read all the books written on finances, or you just turn on the TV or the computer and you see all these wise tips from financial experts. But today I want to go into that subject of unreserved generosity. We're going to be a little bit adventurous and look at what is so often missed in the financial instruction from the world, and see how it is actually very wise to be very generous. After all, our world celebrates people who have learned how to have it all, but not so much those who have learned to give it all away.
We celebrate the rich philanthropist who has it all, invests it all, and creates a lot, and gives away a little. But we don't really celebrate the people who have given away everything. So often we end up living and holding on tight with this sort of kung fu grip to whatever we have, instead of living with this wide open hands, wide open heart, sharing kind of generosity. And the Bible teaches that the wisest thing that we can do with our resources is to learn how to invest them into God's kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, when I was first learning, you know, the maturity as a Christian, as a young adult, I had a few misbeliefs about generosity. To me, being generous, this was for very, very rich people, or people who are later in life, they've already bought their house and their car and the kids have moved away and now they've got a little bit extra. Like, those people who have that, well, that wasn't me. I didn't have that extra. I knew that I wasn't rich or called to be rich. And maybe instead, generosity was for very, very holy people, right? Like, I could imagine someone with millions of dollars being generous, and I could imagine the Mother Teresa kind of people of the world that are generous with their time and they give their lives away. And I knew that I wasn't either of those. And what I want you to know is that you don't have to be either of those extremes either. Today we're going to talk about unreserved generosity as a way of life and as a mindset. And before you get too uptight, it's not only about money. Money is involved for sure, but generosity is about a worldview, about being a giver instead of a taker, about having this sense about living with your Creator who loves you and cares for you and has unlimited resources and says, I want to make you a conduit of my love to people. I have given you so much time, so much money, so much gifts, so much opportunities, and I've blessed you so that you can go and in turn be a blessing to other people. So the question I want you to wrestle with in the back of your mind is, what will lead to a life that's filled with unreserved generosity? Teaching us to live with open hands and an open heart. So if you want to open your Bibles, if you brought them, pop them up on your phone. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I want to begin with a very key passage where Jesus talks specifically about money and how it can divide families. And then he talks about how to be smart instead of how to be foolish. So open your Bible, Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Here we go. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, notice this warning, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In other words, God had blessed. He had good soil. There's a great crop. Verse 17, he said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all of my crops. I have abundance. I have more than I need. What should I do with the extra that I have?" Verse 18, then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And now we get to the punchline of the story that Jesus tells. Here's a man who believes that his prosperity given to him through the land by God is for him. And what's he going to do with it? He's going to hoard it. He'll tear down the barns. He'll get bigger barns. He'll never have to work. His security, his joy, his future, his whole life is going to be wrapped up in these possessions. So what does God say to that kind of mentality? Well, listen to what Jesus says in the punchline, verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?" Right? Jesus said that it is a very unwise way to live. Then he goes on to make one more point. Yes, a person who is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. So let me ask you this, as you're sitting there after hearing this story. Are you rich towards God? Are you wise or are you foolish with what God has entrusted you with? When you're unreserved with your generosity, when you give extravagantly, something happens to your emotional health. You feel good about yourself. It guards your heart towards greed. And here's where we're going. I want you to understand that generosity is not about figuring out tithing and offerings and giving money to ministry and to the church. Unreserved generosity is not about how can you be more holy than the other people and then someday in some way be a giver. I'm talking about unreserved generosity as a wise way to live. God has created his commandments on generosity to help us care about the things that matter to God. And God gets so excited when we take something that he entrusts to us and we give it to other people and we bless them and we love them. And you know what I've learned? As I give my time, as I give my energy, as I give my money and realize that it's God's and I give it away, it's not just wise because it protects me from greed. It's not just wise because emotionally it gives me a lift. It helps me to care about the things that matter to God. So let's look at what will lead to a life filled with unreserved generosity. Well, first thing that I notice is perspective. We need to have the right perspective. There's a wonderful passage to give you some perspective when it comes to how you handle material things and how you can be unreserved in your generosity. It's found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Let me read it to you. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes as the shifting shadows. There's some perspective for you. Everything you have is a gift. It all comes from the hand of God. When we live with a generous life, with open hands, if we know what we have has been given is a gift. And this passage specifically is talking about how Jesus' blood covers us. We've given more than we can afford. We've been given something that we could never pay for. But it applies to everything. Everything is given to us as a gift from God. You can also get perspective when we look at the whole world. You see the statistics. I'm sure they've come across your screens. But I want to remind you of them. The general idea of these numbers is this. 70% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. Does that give us perspective? If you make more than $3,600 in a year, $3,600, if you are past that income amount, then you are in the top 30% of the world's most wealthy. That perspective should cause us to want to be generous because God has given us so much. I want you to hear it again. We have a lot, and it's all a gift. God gives us perspective so that he can lead us to unreserved generosity. Another thing that'll help us grow in this unreserved generosity is simply making this commitment. I'm going to be a person who shares. I know it's a simple concept. When we're little kids, we're taught by our parents that it's important to share, and then oftentimes we grow up and we come a little more isolated, and in that isolation, we inadvertently become a little bit more selfish. But if you choose to share, it makes all the difference in terms of generosity. Listen to the words from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Paul gave us a challenge to share. Here's what he says. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Have you been there? I know how I have. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Then tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being willing to share with others. we should all learn to share. Now, let me give you an example, just to put it in tangible terms. I have a friend that I went to Bible college with, and I remember as a poor college student, he dreamt of owning his own guitar. He wasn't amazing, but he was decent, and he just always had to borrow a guitar before he got to play. So one day he was saving his money, did the summer job thing, was willing to scrape up enough, and he bought himself a guitar. And now he could lead worship with his own guitar instead of a borrowed one. One day we were sitting in the office. We had a shared office, him and I. And his guitar would sit in the corner on the little stand. It wasn't a super expensive guitar, but, you know, it would stay in tune. It sounded good when it was plugged in. And it was a nice guitar. And one evening, as we were working, just doing things at the church, the young adults were about to have a worship service. And the worship leader comes running into the office. He's like freaking out. He's like, "We're about to start. We're done the warm-up, and I broke a guitar string. I got no more strings. Can I borrow your guitar?" Like, what are you going to do? And he's sitting there, and he's like, "Wow, that's my new guitar. Like, I've been saving for this, but God says be generous, so I guess you can borrow my guitar." So the worship leader went up, and he played his set, and he sang his heart out, and he led the group in worship, and it was great. And the next day, when my friend went back to work, he entered the office, and there was his guitar sitting on the stand. Everything was safe, and nothing was broken, and it was all good. Awesome, learning how to share. But as he went to play it, he noticed the face of the guitar. Apparently, the worship leader, he had a really heavy strum, and he had a thick pick that night, and he scratched the finish all up on his guitar. His brand new guitar. So when we let the worship leader know about it, he felt bad. He was like, "Oh, let me get that fixed. Like, I'll totally pay for it." So we took it to the shop, and we found out that his guitar, it would be more expensive to polish out the scratches than it would be to just buy an equal caliber guitar. And so my friend decided, and I think it was pretty amazing. He said, "No, I gave it away. I let somebody else use it. It was not mine. I saved up for it, but all that I saved up for was given to me by God. And I gave the guitar for someone else to use, so it wasn't mine. I was just entrusted with it. I'm going to be generous." And he said, "Don't worry about it." It didn't affect how the guitar played. It still stayed in tune. It still made great noises. And unless you shone the light on it in a funny way, you wouldn't even know that it was scratched. He shared his possession to the point where when it was broken, it wasn't his to be concerned about. It was Jesus. He still chose to be generous. We are all called to be that kind of generous, to be unreservedly generous. And sometimes it turns out great, and sometimes it doesn't turn out the way we planned, but it is always the right way to live. Another powerful word that you can use when you're wanting to grow and being unreserved with your generosity is this word. I think it's so important. Contentment. It's a word that we don't use very often anymore in Canada. It's a word that's confusing to a lot of people because contentment means that we say that we have, well, one of the most powerful things that can be said as a human being. I have enough. I have enough. I don't need any more. "Hey, do you want some more?" "No, I'm fine. I've got enough. I'm good." Think about that. That's a powerful word because it puts in place, puts us in place where we can be unreserved with our generosity because we're actually happy with what we have. We live in a world where everything is about upgrading, getting bigger, better, faster, slicker, cooler, newer, and sometimes we just simply need to say, "No, that's enough. I've got enough." And as we're going through this, you know, the Bible talks about this topic too in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. It says this: "True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth." After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. What a powerful idea. What a counter-cultural idea. When we are content with what we have, then we have opportunity to give away more. And I don't know about you, but I want to live that way. I want to be unreserved with my generosity. And that happens when we learn to say, I have enough. I'm content with what I have. Well, the last word I want to share with you is when we think about unreserved generosity, is eternity. There are some things that last forever, and then there are some things that don't. And as a matter of fact, God is really clear about what lasts forever. It's God and it's people. That's right, Jesus said, love God and love people. Love God, love people. That's the great commandment, because those are the things that last forever. Jesus put it this way in Matthew. Jesus said, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Eternity. We can be unreserved with our generosity when we say, I want to invest in what lasts forever. There's a great little story. I'll tell you this as I close. It's a story about a very old man. He's drawing near to the end of his life, and in fact, hospice care. He's coming to his home. And you know it's near the end when the hospice care comes to visit you and they're coming to help. And one day the man's pastor, he came in to visit. And the elder man, he waved to his pastor and he said, Pastor, could you come close for a minute? So pastor comes near and he whispers something into the pastor's ear. And the pastor's like, really? Yes, pastor. So the pastor helped him up, and he walked with him toward the window of his house, and they pulled back the curtains, and the old man said, thank you so much, pastor. And he went, and he got back into bed again. And someone approached the pastor and said, what was the guy doing? Well, the pastor said, the old man wanted to have one more look at his Porsche before he died. The story didn't happen. It never happened. I've never heard that kind of a story in the real world, because as the older man draws near to the end, he doesn't want to look at his car one more time. He wants his grandkids to sit on his lap and say, Granddad, would you tell me one more time about? Grandpa, would you give me one more hug? When we draw to the end of life, we understand what is going to last forever. And it's God and it's people. There are eternal things, and if you want to be unreserved in your generosity, remember eternity. Because it'll change your life. But as we go through all of this and we talk about these four words, as we look at the perspective and the place that God has put us, as we talk about sharing like we teach our kids, and we decide enough is enough, we are content, and we look into the future and what God has asked us to invest into. My curiosity, I wonder, what does that look like in our day-to-day? What does it look for me right now while I'm sitting here thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch and the sun is shining and are we going to go out on the boat or are we going to go to the park? What does this mean to me today? It's something that we really have to soul search with God. How am I going to handle what God has entrusted to me? Do I act like it belongs to God? Am I being generous? Not generous compared to some, but generous in view of God's mercy. God's mercy. The Bible talks about money and possessions a lot because it can be such a stumbling block for us. Will we trust God to meet our needs, or will we act like we actually worship and trust in money and in possessions instead? I say it to my kids all the time because I want them to understand it. I love working at the church. I love being your pastor. But the church doesn't pay me to be your pastor. The church pays me to not have to go out in the world and do something else. The income I get is because God says, I want to bless you. The income I have, the paycheck that comes in, isn't because I worked hard. I work hard because Jesus asked me to. But it's because Jesus said, I need you to bless other people. Will you be the hands that give it out? So everything I own, and my girls know this, everything we own is not ours. We're entrusted to take care of it and to give it away as much as we can. Because the more that we give away, the more God will give to us so we can give it away again. And the more he'll give, so we can give it away and we can give it away. And you can't outgive God. Keep giving. Keep giving. Be full of the Spirit. We talk a lot about it here. Live life in the Spirit so that when he says, David, it's time to give, then I give. David, it's time for you to give, then I give. And I give and I give and I give because that's the way he set it up. The more I give away, the more he will funnel through me to give away again. So I want to pray for you, church. When we talk about money, often we think, well, you need to give to the church. Today I'm telling you, you need to be generous to everyone, in every circumstance, always. And I don't know how that works for you. I don't know what areas of your life you struggle with, what circumstances make it hard to give. And I'm not talking about enabling people to be needy. There are limits to what is healthy. But sometimes we fall back on those excuses when God is saying, I'm calling you to be unreservedly generous. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. First, that we got to eat breakfast this morning. I mean, most of us woke up. Most of us had a pillow under our heads. We got to brush our teeth. We got to sit down at the breakfast table and put something in our bodies for nourishment. God, as simple as that is, thank you so much for it. You provide us with everything we need. And sometimes our circumstances, sometimes our choices have put us in difficult situations. And we seem like we don't have enough. So, God, today the first request I have from you is that you would fill us with your Spirit so that we would know where you're directing us, so that we could make wise decisions that aren't from our own wisdom, but they come from you. That when you say, it's time to spend on this, it's time to give to this, it's time to save here, it's time to make this decision, God, that it would be led by your Spirit. Secondly, God, I pray that you would give us contentment, that we would have more than enough, because I know we already do, and we would learn how to live within our means. I know many of us, especially with COVID and all that aftermath, have spent more than we can afford, that have lost that extra. God, help us to not spend because we have, but to give because you have given. Back to that leading of your Spirit. Help us to be content with what we have and to trust that you will give us more than enough, and not the stuff that you give us would be the more than enough. It would be you. God, the last one that I would ask is that you would send people in our lives to help us learn how to be generous. It's difficult when someone comes with needs and we're not sure if they're telling the truth, if the situation is honest or not. So again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us, but that you would also send people with clear direction, that you would speak to us clearly, and that the people that we're being generous to and with would be because they're being honest. And this practicing working on each other within our own church family and then spreading out of the walls, God, that that you would help us to be generous. So first, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Second, that we would be content with what we have, knowing we have more than enough. And third, that we would give, and know who to give to. So God, send those people in our lives, whether it's other people in this room or people out on the street, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. God, that you would direct us to be unreservedly generous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to me. Next Sunday, we're going to be doing church outside, so much the same thing, but in the tent. So ladies, bring a hat. You'll want one. It's dry in there if it's rainy. It's beautiful in there. But you also want to bring a lawn chair. We've got a bunch of old plastic ones that I'm not sure you want to sit on because they've been in the sun all winter. So bring a lawn chair. Invite a friend. One of the goals of being outside is so we're seen and heard. The government made a lot of decisions over the last couple of years telling the church what to do, and I would assume those decisions were informed by what they knew about the church. So we want to be seen and heard so they know what we stand for, they know what we do, they know who we believe in and have friendships with. So next Sunday, we're outside. And as we close, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what we've been learning about, specifically being unreservedly generous. So, Carol, if you could throw it up on the screen. The last question, do you find certain circumstances or people to be more easily? ESL, second language. Is it easier to be generous with certain people or circumstances? And if so, what's the hardest thing for you to share with others? Go for it. Break back into your groups and chat about this. Pray for each other that we would become what God has called us to be. Thank you.